Last month, something happened for the first time in human history. As far as we know, mankind had never achieved this feat over thousands of years. Sadly, it wasn't done by the United States. It actually wasn't done on this earth at all. Humanity just planted its flag on the far side of the moon. China's robotic Chang'e 4 mission touched down on the floor of the 115-mile-wide Von Karman crater back on January 2nd this year, pulling off the first-ever soft landing on this mysterious lunar far side. Chang'e 4 will perform a variety of science work over the coming months, potentially helping scientists better understand the structure, formation, and what they believe is the evolution of the Earth's natural satellite. But the symbolic pull of the mission will resonate more, perhaps, with the masses. The list of unexplored locales in our solar system just got a little bit shorter. This epic touchdown, which took place 9:26 p.m. Eastern Standard, according to the Chinese space officials, followed closely on the heels of two big NASA spaceflight milestones just before. On December 31st, the OSIRIS-REx spacecraft entered orbit around the near-Earth asteroid Bennu, and the New Horizons probe zoomed past the distant object Ultima Thule just after midnight on January 1st. I'm sure you guys have been talking about this in your houses constantly. It takes the moon about the same amount of time to spin once on its axis as it does for the natural satellite to orbit the Earth. So because of this tidal locking, we only ever see one face of the moon, which we call the near side. This familiar face has welcomed many visitors over the years, both robotic and human. All six of NASA's crewed Apollo missions to the lunar surface touched down on the near side, you're probably familiar with. The far side is a much tougher target for surface exploration, because the moon's rocky bulk would block direct communication with any landers or rovers there. And we really shouldn't even call it the dark side, because the far side gets just as much sunlight as the near side. We just can never see it from here. To deal with that issue, China launched a relay satellite called Kakao in May 2018. And I'm sure that's exactly how you pronounce it, because my Mandarin is finito. That doesn't even make sense. Stick to the script, Pennington. Kakao set up shop at the Earth-Moon Lagrange Point 2, a gravitationally stable spot beyond the moon from which the satellite can keep both Chang'e 4 and its home planet in sight. The data flow through Kakao will likely be extensive. Chang'e 4, which launched on December the 7th and entered the lunar orbit 4.5 days later, it boasts 8 science instruments, 4-piece on a stationary lander, and a mobile rover. The lander features the landing camera, the terrain camera, the low-frequency spectrometer, and the lunar lander neutrons and dosimetry, which was provided by Germany. The rover has the panoramic camera, the lunar penetrating radar, the visible and near-infrared imaging spectrometer, and the advanced small analyzer for neutrals, from which Sweden actually contributed. Chang'e 4 will therefore be able to characterize its surroundings in great detail, probing the composition of the surface, as well as the layered structure of the ground beneath the lander's feet. Such observations could help researchers better understand why the lunar near and far sides are so vastly different, according to what scientists are hoping. For example, dark volcanic plains called Maria cover much of the near side, but are nearly absent completely on the far side. The mission should beam home some intriguing and dramatic imagery as well. Von Karman Crater lies within the South Pole Aitken Basin, one of the largest impact features in our solar system. The SPA Basin measures a whopping 1,550 miles from rim to rim and is 7.5 miles deep. As the common saying goes, the Grand Canyon's got nothing on the SPA Basin. You probably never heard that. In addition, Chang'e 4 totes a biological experiment which will track how silkworms, potatoes, and plants grow and develop on the lunar surface. For the record, all those things have already died. All those experiments failed. The mission will also make radio astronomy observations, taking advantage of the exceptional peace and quiet of the far side of the moon. Chang'e 4 is just the latest step in China's robotic lunar exploration program, which is named after a moon goddess in Chinese mythology. China's launched three previous versions of this, 1, 2, and 3, of course, starting around 2007. China also has ambitions for crewed lunar missions to have people aboard, but its human spaceflight program is focused more on the Earth orbit in the short term. The nation aims to have a space station up and running there by the early 2020s. Amazing what mankind can do with the capabilities that God gave us. Most of that information came from space.com, from a story last month when that happened. You may have also heard this week that the president signed Space Force Directive 4, or SFD4, to provide the official go-ahead for the creation of a space force. Under the directive, the Department of Defense will begin crafting a legislative proposal to establish a sixth branch of the armed forces under the Air Force to handle space-related military activity, similar to the Marines being a branch of the Navy. The moon is the easiest celestial object to find in the night sky, that is, when it's there. Earth's only natural satellite hovers above us, bright and round, until it seemingly disappears from time to time. The rhythm of the moon's phases has guided humanity for millennia. For instance, calendar months are roughly equal to the time it takes to go from one full moon to the next, as we're well aware of in the church. It has long fascinated mankind to look at this glowing orb in the sky. Some ancient peoples believed the moon was a bowl of fire, while others thought it was a mirror that reflected Earth's land and seas. But ancient Greek philosophers knew the moon was a sphere orbiting the Earth whose moonlight reflected sunlight. However, the Greeks also believed the dark areas of the moon were seas while the bright regions were land, which influenced the current names for those places, Maria and Terra, which is Latin for sea and land. The pioneering astronomer Galileo was the first to use a telescope to make actual scientific observations of the moon, describing in 1609 a rough mountainous surface that was quite different from the popular beliefs of the day, that the moon was smooth. But what is the moon without the sun? Without the light, the energy, the power, the gravitational pull of the sun, where would the moon be? It likely would be a hunk of rock floating through the darkness of space. The moon is beautiful in the sky, and it is in perfect harmony with the other physical elements of our solar system that work together to be able to sustain human life. But the moon relies on the sun for it all to be able to work together. Likewise, we, in these physical human bodies, we could just come and go, live out our physical lives, eventually die, be gone, and do what we want during our lifetimes, live in the darkness, and eventually we fade away. Or, like the moon, we can tap into a power that's greater than ourselves. By tapping into this higher power, we can reflect something much greater than ourselves. No, this is not a sermon about worshiping the sun, although it might sound like that so far. Just as the moon is made greater by the power of the sun, do you and I tap into the power of God, His Holy Spirit, to make us into something much greater than we can be on our own? This physical life is a miracle, but it is a passing, fleeting, an eventually decaying miracle. Let's examine three characteristics of the moon, which uses the sun, which also happen to be three ways we can tap into the power of God to better ourselves. The first point is that the moon is dependable and predictable. The moon is incredibly dependable and predictable. Why? Short answer is that because God made it that way. Working in conjunction with the gravity of the sun and the earth, we can calculate where the moon was hours, days, weeks, years, centuries ago. And we can predict that into the future as well, a very long way out, unless God chooses to change that at some point, of course. Let's go back to Genesis 1, as you might imagine. be reading verses 14 to 16. Start in Genesis 1. Verse 14 says, "Then God said, 'Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth.' And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." With the creation of the physical universe, God put into place things for signs and seasons for days and years. There's a reason that a lunar cycle is very close to how we count a month. God made it that way, and a reason that a year is counted by how long it takes the earth to circle the sun. The creation of the physical universe created time as we know it, which the Godhead, of course, pre-exists. There are various scientific theories out in the world about how the moon was created. Some recent evidence makes many think that it indicates that it was formed when a huge collision tore a chunk of the earth away. Of course, most scientific conclusions and theories are made by those who want to explain away God from every situation. But this leading explanation of our current time of how the moon formed was that a giant impact knocked off the raw ingredients for the moon from the primitive molten earth out into orbit. Scientists have suggested the impactor was roughly 10% of the mass of earth, about the size of Mars or so. But because the earth and the moon are so similar in composition, researchers have concluded that the impact must have occurred about 95 million years after the formation of the solar system, give or take 32 million years. The solar system, they believe, is roughly 4.6 billion years. Although the large impact theory dominates the scientific community's discussion, there are several other ideas that lead to the moon's formation. These include that the earth somehow captured the moon at some point, that the moon fissioned out of the earth, or that the earth maybe even stole the moon from Venus, which is a more recent theory. Perhaps the physical nature of one of these theories is correct or close to it, how it worked physically. But how did the moon come to be? Was it happenstance that our entire solar system aligned itself perfectly? Well, we read it once already, but let's go to Psalm 104 to drive that home. Be reading verse 19 of Psalm 104. Psalm 104:19 says, "He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down." These massive physical bodies floating through space are somehow aligned perfectly. We don't currently know exactly how that came to be, but we know that a creator, much greater than the physical universe itself, appointed it to be. We just read that. And now that perfect appointment and alignment is dependable and it's predictable. How do you and I become dependable and predictable? We don't have a moon circling around us to keep us in our orbit, unless you count the kids running around us in circles, but they are neither dependable or predictable. How about your words? Are your words dependable? Would the people around you describe your word as gold? Let's turn over to Numbers 30. Read the first two verses of Numbers 30. This is Numbers 30 and verse 1. "Then Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, 'This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Dependable people keep their vows, they keep their words, keep their word, they keep their promises, even if that comes sometimes at a personal cost. Dependable people live by the old adage, "My word is my bond." James 5:12 reminds us that we shouldn't need to swear by anything in order to be believed. Our simple yes or no should be like gold to those that receive it. Which, of course, is the opposite of what we see in the world. You've probably noticed, like I have, that someone who constantly says, "I swear to this, I swear to that, I swear in my uncle's grave, and worst of all, I swear to God," usually that person is a dishonest person. Our words should be gold. Another form of dependability is not being a gossip. The New International Version of notes say NIV version, which is redundant, but then I still mess it up anyway. NIV of Proverbs 11:13 reads, "A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret." Which one of those are you? Which one am I? Are we dependable confidants, or do we love to dish out the latest gossip? We talk about that fairly regularly, so we'll move on. Let's go to Proverbs 25. Be reading verse 13 of Proverbs 25. "Like many of you, I've both been supervised most of my working life, but I've had the opportunity to supervise others lately. I never appreciated this verse and the depth of this verse until I had the chance to do the latter." This is Proverbs 25 and verse 13. I'm in Psalms. Therein lies the problem. Proverbs 25:13. "Like the cold of snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters." This is from John Gill's commentary. "As snow that in those hot countries used to be kept in vessels, the snow was kept in vessels in places underground to cool their drink with in the summertime, just as ice is kept with us in like places for the same purpose. And then the sense is, as drink cooled with snow is very agreeable and exceedingly refreshing to those that labor in the field at the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters or employers." Good help is hard to find. Good employees are like an ice-cold drink on a hot summer day. Are we that kind of employee? Are you that way with your family at home? Are we that way in serving the church? Would people describe you and me as a refreshing ice-cold drink, a respite from the rest of the world? The moon is dependable because of the power and the gravitational pull of the sun. God's words and actions are fully trustworthy. Are ours? Are you and I considered to be dependable? Point number two, the moon is a light in the darkness. It is a light in the darkness, and a beautiful one at that. But all the moon is a hunk of rock, which is the title, the second message, a hunk of rock. But using the light provided by the sun, it is absolutely gorgeous. Without that light from the sun, we, of course, wouldn't even be able to see the moon from here. The moon likely has a very small core, just 1 to 2% of the moon's mass and roughly 420 miles wide. It likely consists mostly of iron, but it may also contain large amounts of sulfur and other elements. Its rocky mantle is about 825 miles thick and made up of dense rocks, rich in iron and magnesium. Scientists currently believe that the magmas in the mantle made their way to the surface in the past and erupted volcanically for more than a billion years, from at least 4 billion years ago to 3 billion years ago. The moon has a very thin atmosphere, as you're probably familiar with, so a layer of dust or a footprint can sit undisturbed for centuries. And without much of an atmosphere, heat is not held near the surface, so temperatures vary wildly. Daytime temperatures on the sunny side of the moon can reach 273 degrees Fahrenheit, and on the dark side, it can get as cold as minus 243 Fahrenheit. The crust on top averages some 42 miles deep. The outermost part of the crust is broken and jumbled due to all the large impacts it has received. It's a shattered zone that gives way to intact material below a depth of about 6 miles. The moon is beat up from being pelted by space objects for what scientists say are millions, if not billions, of years. Yet, in the big picture, as it takes light from the sun, it is still beautiful to observe. Are you sick of facts about the moon yet? Don't worry, there's more. More importantly, are you and I lights in the darkness? Are we truly lights in the darkness? As I mentioned, the outer layer of the moon is completely damaged, completely beat up over time. Do you ever feel like that? Perhaps we feel we're too damaged to shine as a light in the darkness now. Perhaps all the scars, the bad decisions we've made, the consequences, the pain, maybe they've convinced you that you're not worthy to be a light in the darkness, even if God has chosen you. Reflecting the light is beautiful, even if at times we're not. How can we reflect the light in the first place? We'll go to John chapter 8, verse 12. John 8, in verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Like the example before us, we should be shining in the light. We don't produce that light from ourselves. It is a reflection of the goodness and power of God. A beautiful moon in the sky creates no light in and of itself. Without using the power of the sun, no one on earth would even see it. The sun gives its light to the moon to shine its glory. We'll turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Grabbing a couple verses here in 2 Corinthians. First one is in chapter 4, verse 6. Second Corinthians 4, verse 6 says, For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you back up to chapter 3, verse 18, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18 should just be right before. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Regardless of the physical and emotional wounds, the scars, the craters that we may have on these human bodies, God has given us the chance to mirror the glory of the Lord. God has commanded light to shine out of the darkness. Are we being transformed? Are we allowing the Creator God of this universe to call us out of darkness and into His glorious, marvelous light? Are you and I living up to the admonition to be lights in the darkness? Or does that light flicker during the week sometimes? Do we conduct ourselves like everyone else around us in the world during the week? The light of the sun transformed the rocky, crater-filled, lifeless surface of the moon into something precious to behold. Does God's Spirit do the same for us? Point number three, the moon assists the earth. Point number three is the moon assists the earth. Through the power of the sun, the moon is able to help the earth. The moon's gravity pulls at the earth, causing predictable rises and falls in sea levels known as tides. To a much smaller extent, tides also occur in lakes, the atmosphere, and actually within the earth's crust. High tides are when water bulges upward, and low tides are when water drops down. Most of us are familiar with that. High tide results on the side of the earth nearest the moon due to gravity, and it also happens on the side farthest from the moon due to the inertia of the water. And then the low tides occur in between those two humps. The pull of the moon is also slowing the earth's rotation, an effect known as tidal braking, which increases the length of our day by 2.3 milliseconds per century. You're welcome. The energy that Earth loses is picked up by the moon, increasing its distance from the Earth, which means the moon gets farther away by 1.5 inches annually. So in my lifetime, the moon is now this much further away from the Earth than when I was born, which is naturally, in our world, cause for scientific concern. The moon's gravitational pull may have been key to making Earth a livable planet by moderating the degree of wobble in the Earth's axial tilt, which led to a relatively stable climate over billions of years where life could flourish. That last sentence is, of course, a bit of scientist speak. Naturally, how it was set up is key to human existence because God made it so. It's always interesting thinking about how much time passed between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Science may be proving that. But the moon assists the Earth, keeping it in balance and on the correct path. Using God's Holy Spirit, are we helping those around us to stay in balance, to stay on the correct path? Well, how do we do that? We'll go over to Hebrews 13. Be reading Hebrews 13, just one verse, verse 16. Hebrews 13, 16 says, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Again, our examples, our actions, the light that we reflect from the power of God is beneficial to those around us. A true Christian's purpose isn't to gather treasure for themselves on earth. It's to give and share as God does. And we can give and share in a number of different ways. A memory verse in Philippians 2:4 says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others." Are we described as looking out for the interests of others? Can you, can I think of any examples in the last week where I or where you were clearly looking out for someone else's interest over your own? We'll go to James 1 and verse 27 as we start to wind down. Looks actually just across the page, perhaps, in your Bible. We use this verse a lot, but it's a good summation of assisting those around us. James 1:27, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Are you and I assisting those on earth by being an example, by being a light, by being giving? Let's look at an example of God's people being abundantly giving over in Exodus 36. Actually, read a few verses here in Exodus 36, the first 7, to be exact. This isn't too long after the golden calf incident. Per God's instructions, Moses had commanded the people that all the gifted artisans were to come together for the building of the tabernacles. I think I said tabernacles. Probably due to habit, saying a Feast of Tabernacles all the time. This is Exodus 36 and verse 1. And Bezalel and Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding, to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses called those two guys again, and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred, to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses, saying, "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do." So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, indeed, too much. Not only did the craftsmen come to serve, but the people brought more material than they could even handle. They had to be asked to stop bringing their offerings, their gifts, their money, their services, because it was just too much to handle. Would anyone ever describe us this way? With our money? With our possessions? What about with our time? Or our prayers? Before we close, let's make one more thing abundantly clear. Obviously, we want to be careful not to worship the creation over the Creator. In our analogy today, the moon is drawing from the power, the energy, the light of the sun. But where did that power originate? Finish the last verse over in Deuteronomy 4. One final verse here in Deuteronomy 4:19. "And take heed, lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage." Last month marked a first in humanity for that heritage. A human feat accomplished for the first time in thousands of years in landing on the far side of the moon. How space exploration will continue going forward before Christ's return is unclear, of course. But while space exploration is fascinating and incredible, the creation of this universe is exponentially more mind-blowing and impressive. Through the energy of the local sun God created to empower the moon to do its work, so too has God empowered us to tap into His Holy Spirit. Drawing strength from that power, be dependable, be a light, and assist those upon the earth as you're able. Don't be just another hunk of rock, aimlessly floating through the darkness.